Amen. If you are putting the title of the message tonight, the message tonight is called Finishing My Assignment. You have to make it personal. Finishing my assignment. Not you, somebody else's assignment, but my assignment. Because when God calls you, he does not call you in a group. You might have a twin brother, but that brother has a perfect assignment and you have a different assignment. So therefore tonight we are going to speak about finishing my assignment. Praise the Lord. Navy SEAL teams, I believe for those of you who know something about military, you know that Navy SEALs, they're the most powerful and the most talented military men on the face of the planet. And this time, they had to go, you know, take care of Osama bin Laden, and no other team, you know, wanted to go. Maybe or no other team was requested by the government. But this team, Navy SEAL Team 6, had to go all the way to Pakistan, and were able to take care of that business. And I was thinking about that, and I realized, you know, they did not just, you know, come up. Somebody had to train them. And I believe one time, maybe they were sitting down somewhere and they were looking through some historical facts, and they realized there were some other six people that had existed way back in 1952, and these people, they are called Kapenguria Six. Praise the Lord. For those of you who don't know anything about Kapenguria Six, they are six people who were imprisoned because of fighting for the independence of Kenya. Praise the Lord. And these people, they were, if I can just mention their names here, one of them was, of course, the first president of Kenya, who was Mzee Jomo Kenyatta. The second one was Ochieng Kolewe. No, Ochieng Oneko. Ochieng Oneko. Ochieng Neko. Oneko. Okay, it's not Kolewe. So this is our brother here, Ochieng Kolewe. So Jomo Kenyatta, Ochieng Oneko, Kong'o Karumba, Bildad Kaggia, Fred Kubai, and Paul Ngei. And these people, they sacrificed their families, they sacrificed their lives so that they can go to prison for Kenya to have independence. And therefore, that was the assignment. They had to finish the assignment. Praise the name of Jesus. But I also thank God because right here in Baltimore, God have raised up six men who also, they are willing to finish the assignment. Praise the name of Jesus. So the leaders of men, please rise on your feet. Brother Lucas, Brother Joe over there, Dr. Kolewe, and I believe, where are they? I think the others, they're out. Brother Joel and Brother Dr. Wabomba. These men, they have purposed to finish the assignment to have the ministry of men raised up and go to many generations, so that maybe 5-10 years from now, we might not be serving, but we are gonna talk about them, that these are the team six that stood in the gap and they were able to push the ministry of the men forward. God bless you. Let's appreciate them, please. Amen. Amen. God is a God of assignments. Praise the Lord. God has always been a God of assignments. And one time he said, I'm going to create a nation. And he said, I'm going to create a nation called Israel. And therefore he purposed to start moving on that direction. And therefore he called a man by the name of Abraham. And this man, he called him and told him, you have to, you know, to start going towards this direction because I have a purpose. And so Abraham went ahead and, you know, got a wife. And through that family, God bless them with a son. The Bible says that God tested Abraham. And every time that you get an assignment, I don't know what your assignment is tonight. Maybe your assignment, God wants you to be like Sister Cecilia and also create a CD, or Sister Dorothy, and create a CD. Or maybe God wants you to start a ministry, or God wants you to do something that is God assigned for you. Because every one of us, when we got created, God put an assignment in us. God put something that he wants you to accomplish, that when you get to heaven, he's going to say, welcome, my good and faithful servant. Praise the Lord. So God put an assignment on Abraham and told him, go ahead and start on this journey. But God had to test him. Because every time when God gives you an assignment, it doesn't matter if it's a God-given assignment, there's always going to be trials. There's always going to be tests. There's always going to be temptations. I want to say here that God sends tests your way to make you humble to fulfill your purpose. As we read in the book of Isaiah, that God dwells with those who are humble. God will always bring tests your way. God is always going to bring situations in your way so that he can humble you, so that you can be able to discover the purpose where he sent you here. Because most of us, we think that God created us to come to America. No. That wasn't all. That was just a journey, praise the Lord. That was just a step towards the purpose. So when you come here, or wherever you are in the world, God can start unveiling exactly the purpose that he sent in you, because that purpose is the one that he's going to tell you. Did you finish your purpose? Did you finish your assignment? I believe all of us, we have been to school, you know, at one time or the other. We were students, primary school, high school, college, and everything. And one thing we know is we are never given that diploma, that certificate, that degree until you finish your assignment. Praise the Lord. And therefore, God told Abraham that I'm gonna test you. I'm gonna give you a test. I'm gonna send you. Go ahead and sacrifice your son. And as Abraham went and sacrificed, the Bible says that he was told to sacrifice his son. But before he could kill his son, God told him, stop, I have seen now that you trust me and you love me. So therefore, God is going to continue to put tests in your way. And these tests come in various ways. These tests might come, you know, through various difficult situations. Maybe at work, maybe at home, maybe, you know, in the community, in different circumstances. God will always release some things. But listen to this. Satan also will bring situations in your life. But this situation, he does not bring the situation in your life so that you can fulfill God's purpose. No. He's bringing those situations so that he can delay the purposes of God. That is his agenda. So he'll make you go around one area. If you have a weakness in an area, Satan is going to try to bombard you with that area so that you keep slowing down, because God will not give you that diploma. God will not give you that certificate. God will not give you that degree until you finish your assignment. Praise the name of Jesus. So Abraham comes and God blesses him. He sees that God sees that Abraham is faithful to him, and he gives him a son, and they continue with the journey. And out of that family, Isaac is born. And Isaac also, you know, because God has a purpose. Remember, as I told you before, that God had an assignment to create the nation of Israel. Praise the Lord. And it has to come through a family. It has to come through somebody. And therefore, he stood, God brought Isaac. Isaac came he was born. And as Isaac came along, he became of age and he decided to marry. And he said, you know, I'm going to look for a wife. And he started thinking. He started maybe if it was like today, you know, he started talking to people. He started maybe going to church. He started praying. He started fasting. He started doing all those things that people do when, going to single meetings, all those things that people do when they are looking for a wife or maybe a husband. And by the Bible says God blessed him with his wife, Isaac. And out of that marriage, then some people are born, Jacob and Esau. Those were two, they are two sons. And as they continued, God continued to test them, which I won't get into much details on that. But tonight, I want to share something about the family of Jacob. In the family of Jacob, Jacob had two wives. And the Bible says that, he worked for one wife for 7 years. Then he worked for another for the other. But then he was tricked, and he had to work for the second wife for another 7 years. So for him to get married, he actually had to wait for 14 years. So God really tested his patience. God had to make sure that he's going to have that ingrained in him, because he's going to use it somewhere in the future. But what I want to talk to you about tonight is about Joseph, who finished his assignment. Praise the Lord. You know, when Jacob had his two wives, it just happened. The Bible does not say the details, but the Bible says, I mean, I can understand from what the Bible says that he had what we call in Kenya, mpango wa kando, you know. What we understand by that is that, you know, somebody is married, but he decided not to be faithful to his wife or his her husband, and they have somebody else out there who, you know, they date or something. So, but according to this situation, it looks like it was acceptable. You can have a wife, you can have two wives, and you can have even some maids who are going to act as your own wives. So out of this family, he had Jacob, and then he had his four ladies, praise the name of Jesus. But out of these, there were born 12 sons. And let me see if I can remember their names. Because, you know, there were 12. There was Asher. There was Benjamin. There was Dan. There was Gad. There was Judah. There was Issachar. There was Levi. There was Reuben. There was Naphtali. There was Simeon. There was Zublin. And there was Joseph. Praise the name of Jesus. So Joseph is the one we are going to focus on tonight. The Bible says when he was 17 years old, he had a dream, praise the name of Jesus. And in this dream, he could see that the stars were bowing to him. He could see that, you know, his family is going to bow to him at some time in life. And he went to his parents, and he went to his brothers, and he told him, "I had this dream that one day, you know, this is going to happen to my life." And these people, they were very angry. His brothers were very angry with him. And let me tell you one thing: when God starts to reveal His purposes for your life, there are so many things that are going to start to unfold. Some people that you thought they were your friends, they're going to start turning around and they think, how come you are able to do this? How come you are blessed in this way? So their brothers were so jealous of him. They were so angry with him because they realized this man is going to one day, destroy our lives. He's going to be the superior in our family. So they were very angry. And I just remembered that one time there is this story where this lady, it was about Valentine's Day, and, you know, she went to her husband one morning, and she told her husband, "Honey, this last night, I had a dream. I was wearing a very beautiful necklace, and what do you think that really means?" So the husband turned to the lady and said, "I'm going to get you a book to interpret dreams tonight." The husband missed the opportunity to be a blessing to the wife. But in this situation, Joseph, when he shared his dream, his brothers were so angry with him, and they were like, we cannot have this. And therefore, one day, his father tells Joseph, "Go ahead and go and see how your brothers are doing." And so he walks. He walks to the to where his brothers are. And when he was very far away, they looked at him and he said, "There comes the dreamer. There comes the one who he says he's going to rule us one day. There comes the man who thinks that he's all that and a piece of cheap," as they say in New York. And when he came to them, they conspired against him. And they say, "Let's kill him. Let's kill him so that the dream that he's dreaming, they'll never be fulfilled." And therefore, when they came closer to him, as you know, Jacob was the loved of the father. You know, he had given him a coat of many colors. And they knew that he was the favorite in the family. Therefore, when he came over there, they grabbed him. The Bible says they grabbed him and they stripped off his coat of many colors. And this is amazing that Lily, when I read and I was like, wow. The Bible says that after they stripped him of the coat of many colors, they were planning to kill him. But one of the brothers said, I believe it was Reuben, and said that, "Do not kill him. Let's just throw him in the pit and then, just leave him there." But the Bible says he was planning to come back and restore him or rescue him, to take him home. So they finally put him in the pit. And the Bible says, this is the amazing part that really amazed me. And the Bible says, as soon as they put him in the pit, the Bible says they sat down and started eating. And it's amazing how people can be so cold sometimes. that, you know, somebody knows that you have a situation, some difficult situation, but instead of praying for you, oh, they'll go tell the whole world about your situation and say, tell them how you are struggling with that in that area. But these people are just cold. But the Bible says, I started thinking, what really did Joseph do? The Bible says there was no, thank God there was no water in the pit. So they put him in the pit. And I don't know about you tonight, because sometimes, especially for those of us, you know, God who has blessed us with houses, there's a basement. And sometimes people use that basement as a pit to go there and cry to God. And therefore, I just remembered that Joseph went down to that pit. And as he was there, he was crying to them. He was begging them, please don't kill me. Please rescue me from this hole. Rescue me from this situation. But they could not hear anything of that. And therefore, he decided to cry to God. Praise the name of Jesus. He decided to cry to God. And tonight, I don't know the situations that you are in. As I was praying for this message, there are some things that the Lord showed or put in my spirit that there could be somebody or some people who there are some situations that are really pursuing you. Maybe it's a low case, or maybe it's a situation with the papers, or it's a situation with a sickness. It's a situation that you feel so blessed that you are like Joseph, like right there in the hole. There is it's dry, it's in the wilderness, and it's the sun is there. It's so hot. You know, there's dust maybe coming down. And the Bible says that as they were eating, I could just imagine, as they were eating, because they were eating, you know, the Bible talks about 5 loaves and 5 bread. So I kind of think probably there was bread that day and there was fish that day as they were eating lunch. And I believe they were also eating, Mahindi choma, that is the corn that is roasted. And I can imagine as they were sitting around, maybe the where they had put him in that hole is somewhere like there. And as they were eating the fish, as they were eating the corn, I can imagine Simeon, because he was like, this cannot happen. We cannot have this man become our leader in a day. And he could just eat, and as he has finished eating his corn, he would just throw the moshakwe, he dug right in the hole and just hit just Joseph in the head. And some of them, probably after they have eaten their fish and they have eaten removed the bones, yes, they would just throw them in the pit, and then they would just stick on Joseph, and he would realize, wow, these people really hate me. And as I was thinking about that, I just realized we are in the resurrection. And the Bible says Jesus came to this world. And when Jesus came to this world, he died on the cross. But one of the things that they did to him, they put a thorn, a crown of thorn upon his head. And it was pricking him as bones were pricking on the head of Joseph. But Joseph, when he was there in the pit, he remembered that God is the only one who is able to rescue him. And just as Jesus was on the cross of Calvary, and he was there because of you and me. He was there because he had an assignment to save mankind from destruction. So that the Bible says that anyone who believes in the Lord will not be lost, but he will be saved. Praise the name of Jesus. So as Joseph was right there in the hall, just thinking, he has tried to talk to his brothers, and his brothers cannot hear him. The Bible says, as he was just there, and I believe he was praying, and his brothers were eating. As I was thinking about that, I just remembered that in 1 year, there is about 1,000 meals. If you multiply 365 days, multiply by 3, is about 1,000. So in a year, you eat about 1,000 meals. In a year, if you eat every three meals in a day. And the Bible says that some demons or some situations will never change unless there's prayer and fasting. Therefore, if you start January 1st and December 31st, and you have consumed all 3 meals, you have consumed 1,000 meals, and you have not even sacrificed 1 meal, to call upon the name of God, some situation will never leave. Because the principle of God says that some demons will never leave until there is prayer and fasting. Praise the name of Jesus. And I thank God because Joseph was fasting. Although his brothers were eating up there. Although they were throwing, hallelujah. Yeah, you can give Jesus a mighty hand. Amen. Although his brothers were eating up there, I thank God because he was fasting and he was calling upon the name of the Lord. And the Bible says that his brothers lifted his eyes, lifted their eyes, and on the side they saw some people coming. And they were looking up, they were looking at these people, and they were wondering who are these people. And the Bible says these people were called the Midianites. And as they came down, they were heading to Egypt. They were heading to Egypt to do business. Let me tell you, when you start praying and fasting and calling upon the name of God, God is gonna order your steps. God is gonna order your situations. God is gonna change things around. Things that you never thought they can change, they are gonna start to change. Praise the name of Jesus. A sickness that you thought that cannot go, God can change it and he can restore it. Praise the name of Jesus. Those children that you think they have gone away, they are so rebellious, they are so stubborn. I thank God because when you call upon the name of Jesus and as the Bible has commanded us, take a few meals out of their 1,000. Praise the name of Jesus. And I believe God is going to change that situation. Praise the name of Jesus. And the Bible says that the Midianites were coming down, going to Egypt. And as they were coming, one of the brothers, I believe it was Judah, said, let's not kill our brother. Let's sell him to the Midianites. And therefore, they take him up. They took his clothes of many colors, and they sold him to Egypt. Now, I want to think that Joseph did not understand Egyptian language. You know, I just want to think like, it doesn't say, but I want to think like that. So they took him, and he was like, oh. When he was there, all of a sudden he sees their brothers all around. And I believe the first thought that came to his mind, is there going to be a rock coming to hit my face now they have come to finish what they have started? Because God is a God of assignments, and he's going to do some things that you think sometimes he's the enemy. But sometimes if you just call upon the name of the Lord, he's going to tell you, no, it's me who is trying to humble you, as the Bible says in the book of Isaiah 57, so that you can discover your purpose and your calling, why he sent you on earth. Because he did not just send us to make money. He did not just send us here on earth to have families. He did not just send us here on earth, you know, to have good homes and big vehicles and everything. But he sent us with a purpose. And that purpose can only be discovered when you go down in the pit in which the Lord is going to lead you. So Joseph comes out of the hole, of the pit, and he comes, they bring him out, and as they sold him, he's wondering, where are these people taking me? And he went to Egypt. And I believe, like what happens when we come here from Africa, you know, most of us, when you come here, sometimes we don't understand the language of Americans. You know, it's English, but sometimes you don't understand all the words. So when you come in, you know, they pick you at the airport, and they say, you know what, we are going to take you somewhere to have a meal. You have been traveling all day and maybe probably all night. So they take you, your friends take you to a restaurant. And because if you came from Kenya, you just see some French fries on the table. You know, probably they take you to McDonald's or somewhere. And you realize when you're in Kenya, you used to just not eat French fries with salt. There was something else that used to be added. So you turn to the waiter and you tell the waiter, please, can you please pass some tomato sauce? And they're looking at you, tomato sauce. What is tomato sauce? You know, they're looking at you, and then you're pointing, tomato sauce, tomato sauce. And then they say, oh, ketchup. You know, so they just bring you the ketchup, you know, because you're trying to learn. So I can understand Joseph was in that situation. He was in Egypt. He did not understand the language. You know, they're telling him, come here. And probably they want him to kneel or do something. You know, so there was so much confusion. There was so much stress. And God is going to order some things in your life that are going to cause some stress. They're going to cause some distress. They're going to cause some situations that you're going to feel, I'm being pressed. And as I was saying, as I was praying, I felt the Lord put in my spirit, there's somebody or some people who are feeling blessed in a corner. But I thank God because we are going to believe God. And tonight the situation is going to be changed around. Praise the name of Jesus. So Another situation. So sometimes, like Pastor Beth, excuse, I'm going to use your example because you're married to an American, Pastor Brother Lewis, a dear brother. So let's say Pastor Beth gets married, or maybe starts dating Pastor Brother Lewis, and one day they're traveling, maybe going for a date, and maybe the car maybe the car breaks down, and maybe it's Pastor Beth's car, and Brother Lewis asked Pastor Beth, where do you have your spare tire? Where do you have your spare tire? And Pastor Beth, in the boot. In the boot. It's in the boot. It's in the boot. And Pastor Brother Lewis is looking. He's looking at Pastor Beth's shoes because maybe she's wearing high boots. He's wearing high boots. You know, because probably it's the winter. And Brother Lewis is looking. You know, that you keep in Kenya, that's where you keep your spare tires. But she's, you know, so, you know, Pastor Beth just walks out of the car and just opens the tire. Oh, it's right here. Oh, we call it a trunk over here. This is the trunk. From now on is a trunk, you know. So Joseph had the same situation. You know, he would go and, you know, people would say something, but he had to learn. He had to adjust. You know, they say, you know, when men come to America, we are hard to we take time to adjust. But I thank God we have men's ministry and we are adjusting fast. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So the women kind of tend to adjust quickly. And so they take him to Egypt. And the Bible says the Lord was with him. The Bible says in the book of Psalms, the Bible says in the book of Psalms, I believe I'll find it. Yeah. In the book of Psalms 34, verse 7, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and he delivers them. Hallelujah. I'm going to read that one more time. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and he delivers them. Praise the name of Jesus. And I thank God because Joseph was a man with an assignment. Praise the Lord. And there was no way the assignment is going to be stopped. There was no way the assignment is going to come to an end. So the favor of the Lord was upon him. And therefore, Joseph was sold to one of the leaders who used to serve the king of Egypt. His name was Potiphar. And he was there in that home. And he was serving him. And there was so much that was going on. You know, when God is trying to mold you, he's gonna bring some situations. And when he was in that home, you know, a situation came around. The wife of Potiphar decided to lie about David, and I mean about Joseph. And because of that situation, Joseph was put in prison. So it wasn't just enough for Joseph to go in the pit. And I said, some of us sometimes our homes, you know, maybe our families, maybe our husband, maybe our wives, maybe our children, maybe our in-laws, they are causing that, you know, that friction, that situation to come up. Maybe there's a sickness in the home. There's some kind of a financial distress in the home. There's a situation that is like really pressing you. Maybe a letter has come from the you know, immigration office that is like telling you gotta pack up. You know, there are things that you know that are happening in the pit. So it wasn't just enough for Joseph to be in the pit, but God looked at him and realized you still have some more things to, you have some more levels to grow before you can be able to accomplish your assignment. Therefore, Joseph is sent to the prison. Some of you, or some of us, we not only have the pit in our home, the situation in our home, but you leave the pit in the house and you go to your work and it becomes a prison. You know, in your work, then you meet your coworkers, you meet your boss. Your boss, you know, when you looked at him, he was smiling with other people. But as soon as he walks in, you know, his face changes and he was like, you know, what are you doing here? Or something like that. So there's that pressure that is put on you, on your workplace. There's that pressure that, you know, some people may lie about you because they want your position. They want what you do. Maybe they want the corner office. Maybe you have a corner office. They're desiring to be looking at the birds when they're singing. They're desiring to be looking at the cars as they're passing. Or, you know, they're desiring to open the window and have some fresh air. I hear people really complain about those cubicles that you don't even have enough air. So somebody is desiring your office at the corner, and therefore your office or your workplace becomes like Joseph. It becomes a prison. So you are there, or you are like, oh God, I thought it was enough at home. I thought it was enough in the pit. Now my brothers did this and that to me. But now you're also in the prison, in your workplace. But I thank God because the favor of the Lord is upon you. Praise the name of Jesus. I thank God because the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him. Praise the Lord. So I know the situation might look desperate, but don't look at at the hand of man. Don't look at the hand, from a help from some situation, from some help from somebody. First of all, call upon the name of the Lord, and then God is going to order some Midianites. Praise the Lord of the name of Jesus. God is going to order help from places that you don't even know. So Joseph is in prison. The Bible says the favor of the Lord was upon him. And at this point, you know, God, I believe, knew one day I'm going to be sharing this message. Because one day, way long before I met my wife, praise thank God for my wife. She has been a blessing to me for these 10 years. Let's appreciate her one more time. Amen. One day, God had favored me, and I had a job. Actually, I never went looking for this job. I was working somewhere in a convenience store. And, somebody came, an executive of a certain company, you know, a very wealthy company, and they said, you look like a hardworking man, you know. Would you like a job? I said, oh, yeah, I want what is it? So he told me he works for this company that actually distributes money around all the East Coast, you know, Maryland, Pennsylvania, Delaware, you know, D.C., you know, around, all the states around Maryland. You know, our office used to distribute money to the ATMs in those companies. So I was there. I was like, oh, God, thank you. You have come through. Thank you. You have removed me from my pit. Hallelujah. Thank you that you have answered my prayer. And I was there in that pit, in that office. And I used to love to go to my work. You know, I used to just, share what God is doing there. And one day, hallelujah. One day, I went to work. And as I went to work, the manager, you know, says, oh, there have been a situation. $500 million are missing. And guess what? Your security code was used to access the building. When God is working in your life, He's going to bring situations that you're going to be like, oh, my God. And I was there. So, of course, the police were called, you know, right here in Timonium. I'm not talking a story of Florida or somewhere. Right here in Timonium, Maryland. And the police were called, and all the workers, those who had already left, the police waited for them to come back. And, they called us in a meeting, and they say there's a situation, money is missing, and we have to find out what happened. So therefore, having my code being put in the building to access the building, I was the prime suspect. You know, they thought this African guy, you know, wanna go to Africa and build mansions and be like Jacob and have four wives because I was single. And raise up, a kingdom, like maybe raise up, maybe 12 sons and a daughter or something like that. So, I was like, oh God, oh God. So thank God for your sister Patricia, Pastor Lillian. That time I used to attend the church that she pastors. And there was a lady who used to go to the church, who used to be an intercessor for the church. And I just picked up the phone. I told her, please. If you ever prayed for anybody, today is the day to pray. You know? If you have never prayed for anybody, today is the day to pray. So she told me, yeah, I'm going to pray for you and I'm going to believe God that, you know, he's going to pull you out of this situation. So we get, you know, rounded up and we are told, of all of us, we have to go all the way to Towson with the headquarters of police in the big building in Towson. And all of us, all my coworkers and me, and my immediate manager, we were sent there. And we were sent to the highest office. They told me that office that they took, that we were taken, it is the office where they take cases of homicide. Because they said, anybody who has the guts to steal $500,000, he will not have a second thought to put a gun on your head. So they had to take us, because they didn't know the situation, we had to be taken all the way to that office. And as we were there, I was like, oh God, I hope this sister kept her promise. Because now we have moved. We have moved from the pit. Now we are in the prison. We are in the prison. And I don't know, kantakula ugali, ntanyolewa, you know, how they take you in Kenya. You know, back in Kenya, when they arrest you, it's not a joke. You know, here sometimes they give you some privileges. But back home when you get arrested, I don't know how many of you maybe got that blessing to be arrested in Kenya. But when they arrest you in Kenya, first of all, they beat you up so that by the time you get there, they keep you without food for maybe overnight. They throw water on you. Sometimes they take out your shirt and your shoes. So you're freezing. And when you get there in that prison, when you meet other people right there, and they see you have socks, they first take away your socks, you know. And they say, you have felt enough warmth out there. Now we need to warm ourselves. So the situation is there when you get to prison. So we are in Towson, and I'm praying. And I tell God, you know, I did not take even a penny of that money. So God, please intervene. Please do something. And I believed the sister prayed. Because, so they called us, the investigators would call you to a room by yourself. And as you see on the movies, it's not a joke. That's exactly what they do. You know, they keep you on the corner, and then they have one guy at the door and one guy facing you. And they're asking you questions. One question they can ask you like 20 times. Did you steal that money? Did you take that money? Do you have friends who told you to steal that money? All those kind of questions. And I was like, oh God, when will this be over? And I'm right there and just like, you know, just say, God, you know. Because if I never tell them that I did not, they cannot. My code, my security code is saying I'm the one who got in there. So I'm sitting right there. And all of a sudden, one of the officers came in the room. And they said, cut him loose. I was like, wow. So in their mind, I was already a convict. In their mind, I was going to go to the jail. In their mind, they had, oh, this guy is going to be in the prison because this is federal money. So you're going to go to a federal prison, you know, like Al Capone. You know, you're going and probably they could have put me in a prison. And I look over there and I see the people who have been living here. You know, when you go to high school and when you went to high school boarding, They used to leave name at, you know, Wakinyonga slept here or something like that, you know, so that you can know the legacy of that room, so that you can maybe try to maintain that room or probably follow the legacy. And I was right there, and I just heard those words, cut him loose. And therefore, they told me, young man, we are going to follow you to your house. So they told me, get in your car. And the two detectives, they followed me in a plain clothes car. And I was like, oh God, what is going to happen? So I'm like, I've never driven so carefully. I mean, you know, sometimes when you go to, when you see the police, you know, I know some of you're my friends. So when you drive me, I know how sometimes I hold on the seat because I know how you drive fast. But that day, you know, the two officers, they are behind me driving. And I'm like looking at them, I'm like, oh. They're not exiting. They're following me all the way from Towson. We are passing Pastor Stanley's home in Parkville. We are going down. We are going down. We are passing Brother Joe's home. We are going down. And finally, I was living in Essex. And we got home. And they told me, young man, stay right there in the living room. Boy, did they search that house. They searched that house from the corner to the anything that can be lifted up, anything that can be moved, anything that can. I was like, wow. I never knew I never knew my house had some places until I saw them open the vents. And they were like looking, you know, at the vent. I mean, like, they could not be satisfied. And finally, they said, young man, have a good night. And they left. So I didn't understand what happened. And I was there in the at home. I slept. And of course, the following day, I went to work. And that's when I heard the story, what happened. That's for another day. Hallelujah. Finishing the assignments. Praise the name of Jesus. God was pushing me so that he can pull what he has deposited in me so that I can start serving him in various ways. And I thank God for the opportunity KCFA Baltimore has given me to be able to serve in various capacities. So I go to work and I ask them, what happened? You know, I see some people there, but the one person who was missing was my manager. And I ask, where is my manager? They told me, oh, you don't know what happened. I told them, no, I don't know. They told me, your manager stole your code and stole the money. Yes. And I was like, how did they find it? What happened? So they gave me the story. Now, listen to this carefully. Because Joseph, when he was in the pit, the Bible says that when they threw him in the pit, then all of a sudden they lifted their eyes and they saw the Midianites coming. The Midianites did not just come. God ordered them to come Joseph's way. Praise the name of Jesus. And at that time, there was a supervisor who is in charge of all the companies in this country for our company who happened to be in Baltimore that particular day. And I was like, okay. So the supervisor was here. Yeah. So this is what happened. When they called and they said the money is stolen, so of course the police called the head office. Then the head office called the supervisor who was about to board the plane in BWI to go back to Chicago, and they told him, you cannot leave because it's a situation in Baltimore that needs your attention. So instead of the police listening to my manager, who'd lie to them, who actually used to be a police officer himself, so he knows all the codes, he knows all the lies, he knows everything about the police department. So the situation was taken over by the supervisor. Praise the name of Jesus. I thank the name of Jesus tonight because I know your situation also. As you call upon the name of Jesus, he's going to order people to take over. Praise the name of Jesus. He's going to order the situation to change around. And I believe you're going to live to give a testimony because there's no testimony without a test. Praise the name of Jesus. So finally, the situation. So we are talking with the supervisor of the national supervisor, and he tells me this is what happened. Your manager came early that day. He stole the money and he gave it to his girlfriend, So when we were because we suspected him, we actually took his phone and started checking the phone, and they realized the person he called very very early in the morning. Excuse me. Was his girlfriend. So the police decided to find out where she is. And they pulled her information from MVA. from MVA. You know, one time I was given a ticket, and I decided the way they say, why don't you go to court? My friend told me, go to court and you're not going to get any points. Just go to court and tell the judge, you know, you are in a hurry or something. And I went to court, and this is a different story. I'll come back to the other one. I went to court, and I was standing there, and the judge looked at me, and he told me, young man, tell me the truth. I have information from all the way from Canada to Mexico, so don't even lie to me. So definitely I had to tell the judge, definitely I'm guilty with an explanation. I was trying to go somewhere. So they looked for the information of the girlfriend, and all of a sudden they realized the girlfriend was somewhere. So they decided to track her phone, you know, and As she was driving around the city, she happened to make a turn at somewhere because the police were following her with an unmarked car. She happened to make a turn somewhere and she did not indicate, you know, signal. And the police stopped her. When they stopped her, you know, they searched her car. And 500 million was in her boots, or it was in her trunk. Amen. So the Lord rescued me. And I have confidence that God is gonna rescue you in the situation that you're going through. As I come to conclude, there are some things that God is going to order in your ways. And I want to just pick up Paul. We know Jesus suffered for us, but I want to pick up Paul. And the Bible says in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 24 and 28. This is the suffering that Paul suffered. Because of all the apostles, Paul is the greatest of them. All the things that he did, everything that he did. But because of those things that he had, all the revelation God had to put to give him, God had to put him so much, had to put so much pressure in him so that he can be able to squeeze out that treasure that was inside Paul. And you know, Paul used to kill Christians before he became born again. So, you know, he had some situations which he had to fix. So, this is what the Bible says, some of the things that Paul went through when he was when God was making him finish his assignment. Praise the name of Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 24 to 28 says, 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. That is beaten. He was beaten for 5 times. And every time they whipped him for 39 times. If you do the math, that's 196 whips, you know, through his lifetime. 3 times I was beaten with rods. You know, he was beaten with metal rods. Once I was stoned with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from leavers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at the sea, in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled, and I have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst, and I have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Beside everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. So all those things, you know, sometimes I wonder when sometimes you just hear, oh, they were talking about me. They were talking about you. And you're like, and that week, you cannot even probably go to that fellowship, that KCFA fellowship, or you cannot go to maybe to that meeting because they were talking about you. Paul did not even mention anything about anybody talking about. He just said he was in danger of false believers. In church, there are false believers. There are people, yes, you know, who are going to say, yes, they love God, but sometimes, you know, they're still in the journey because remember, everybody has an assignment, and God is working them. So before they become true believers, they're sometimes false believers, and they're going to act like false believers. And when they do something that you are not expecting them to do, don't judge them. Just go on your knees. Pray for them that God can take them to the assignment. Praise the name of Jesus. Then, this is Paul's explanation of the things that he went through. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 to 10 says, because of these surpassing great revelations, therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses. Weaknesses can be also infirmities or diseases. Sometimes a disease will come from nowhere. You think you're going to the gym. You think you know you're eating well, and you think you know you don't. The last time we went to McDonald's is when you are going on your way to the national conference for KCFA. You stopped, somewhere and just grabbed a burger. You know you are eating well. So weaknesses, Insult. People are going to insult you in our workplace, in at church, in your house. Maybe your husband or your wife, you work in the house, and they were just laughing on the phone with a friend. And once you walk in, you just see that eye, and you're like, oh my God, you know. And hardships, you know, sometimes financial hardships, you know, from family. Sometimes, you know, you think your family, they're on your side, but sometimes, you know, they don't want you to prosper, especially, you know, when we are here, but people back home, you know, they think that sometimes we just go to an office, to a bank, and you just say, oh, my name is Iggy, can I have like $10,000? You know, and the money is written up because, you know, they'll keep calling and calling. And you think, oh, you know, please wait for my paycheck to come. You know, I work 40 hours and I have to, they don't understand that you have to wait to work for 40 hours sometimes to get a check. And when you get a check, there is more month than the money, you know, when the check comes in. You know, the check goes and you're like, oh my goodness, this check is already spent. Even before I come, I get my money. So therefore, there are hardships of various kinds. You know, hardships in ministry. You know, sometimes you're trying to do something. You know, I won't lie to you. You know, as God, 2014, I thank God for Brother Lucas and the leadership of the KCFA that time. I believe Pastor Beth was in that leadership then. Brother G was there. I'm sorry if I can't remember the rest. They were there when God put it in our spirits, we need to start a men's ministry. And this dream was shared, this vision was shared, you know, among the leaders, and we agreed, let's go ahead. And I thank God that they told me, you know, you go ahead and coordinate it. And I thank God, 2014, 2015, 2016, and now we are in 2017, praise the name of Jesus. And I thank God because God is going to continue helping us to finish our assignment as long as we stay humble and calling upon him. So hardships, so persecution in ministry. So I was going to tell you that in ministry sometimes, you know in the heart of hearts, you're trying to do the right thing. And you know this is maybe what God has spoken to you. But I'm telling you, there's another brother, maybe or another sister, a false brother probably, or maybe a false sister, who's going to say, oh no. No, no, I believe I had God in this also. And God maybe does not only speak to you. Like what they came to Moses, Moses' sister, and told Moses, God, does God only speak to you? And God had to fight. God had to step in. And there was leprosy on the sister of Moses because she did not believe what God has spoken. So don't worry when people rise up against you. You know, Pastor Beth just became a senior pastor in the church, in Ebenezer Grace Church, maybe a month ago or something. Maybe there are persecutions that might arise that you never experienced when you are an assistant pastor. When you come up there, just tell God, you know, God, you called me into this. I pray that you may take me through. Take me through out of this prison. Take me through out of this pit. And I believe God is going to come through for us all. So finally, for this is what Paul says. I delight in weaknesses. I delight in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Praise the name of Jesus. For when I am weak. So every time you feel that you are weak, know that there is some strength somewhere. There's some strength that God is sending. But we need to go down our knees. We need to cut that 1,000. Bring it to 900. Maybe bring it to 999. Just say, today I'm not going to take that breakfast. So you're going to have like a 999. So and try, you know, just call upon the name of the Lord. Now, before we pray, I'm going to cut that message right there. There's so much I could have shared. But God, the Bible says that Joseph was taken to the prison, but God worked things out, which I'm not going to share right now. And Joseph became the prince of Egypt. And when he became the prince of Egypt, his brothers had to come to beg for food or to buy food in Egypt, and they had to face him. And now, the Bible says, and the reason why I said it was Simeon who said, let's kill him. The Bible says when he came to Egypt, the Bible says that Joseph took Simeon and bound him in Egypt and sent his brothers away so that he can be like somebody who is going to be there to make sure that the brothers come back. I won't go into that details, but I want to say that if you let the devil use you to be a torment, to be a thorn in the flesh, like how Judas let the devil use him to sell Jesus. If you let the devil use you to be a pain on somebody else's life, in your family, in the community, in the church, Let me tell you, a day of reckoning is coming. Because the Bible says, he that sows in the flesh, he's going to reap corruption. But he that leaps in the spirit, he's going to reap eternal life. So therefore, as Joseph's brothers came to him, one of the things that he did, he bound his brother Simeon, but the others were left to go. I thank God because he did not punish all of them. He did not punish them for the things they did to him, but he forgave him. He forgave them, and he treated them well. So the people that deal bad to you, the people that treat you wrong, the people that work things against your life, don't be quick to revenge. Don't be quick to pray bad prayers over them. Don't be quick not to attend the meetings where they are. If such and such person is there, I cannot go. No. Welcome them. Love them. Pray for them. And I believe as you are praying for them, then God, in his own supreme power, he's going to help you to fulfill your assignment. God bless you. Worship team, please come and sing a song.